like Marvin Gaye said. He didn't say what's going on. Let's get it on. Because church need to know what's going on. All right? So we're in chapter 1. Word to the wise is sufficient. There are things you could learn. And here's a secret. If you would read the chapter before you get here, it'd be easy to flow. Because it's not possible to cover every single aspect. But anyway, chapter number 1, revival, a divine attack on society. A divine attack on the way the world thinks. The way the world live and conduct their lives that opposes the kingdom of God. Okay, let's begin chapter 1.
The closest biblical word to revival is revive.
Or reviving.
From the Hebrew word chaha.
And it comes from the Hebrew word chaya.
A primitive root meaning to live.
It's a primitive root, which means to live.
This word is also translated in the Strong's.
It is also translated in Strong's.
As nourish.
As to nourish.
Preserve alive.
To preserve alive.
Quicken.
To quicken.
Restore.
To restore.
Save alive.
It means also to save alive.
And make whole.
And it also means, in its essence, to make whole.
First four times this word is translated.
Now, the first four times this word chaya is translated in the scriptures.
Revived in the King James Version.
Revived in the King James Version.
It deals with four increasing levels of debt.
It deals with, notice that term, four increasing levels of death. So what does that tell you? If you don't die, you can't be revived. And guess who got to die first? Huh? You. Say me.
Me.
That's why Galatians 2:20 say, Paul said, I am what? Crucified. I'm crucified. Here's something you need to know. That's what we're here for. Jesus didn't crucify himself. He was crucified. Thank you. But we must... I am crucified with Christ. When he died, I died. When he was raised, I was raised. Are you listening? But this word deals with four increasing levels of death. Read.
One. In Genesis, the 45th chapter and the 27th verse.
In Genesis chapter number 45, verse number 27.
It reveals that Jacob's flickering hope.
Was realized.
When he saw Joseph's wagon.
Now y'all know the story of Joseph. How that his brothers hated him. Because he was a dreamer. Why hate? He was also the son of his old age. He was the favorite. Why y'all get mad at favorites? I'm the favorite. That's my brother right there, but I'm the favorite. If he can't say that, that's his issue, not mine. Are you listening? Why do children who see their parents favoring another child get mad at the child? Maybe it's something the child doing. Maybe it's the calling on the child's life. Are you listening? But anyway, because of his dreams, his brothers conspired against him, sold him into slavery. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So Jacob thought his son, his beloved son of his old age, was dead. Are you listening? But when he saw his wagons, when he saw his glory, that flickering hope, you know what flickering means? You ever saw a candle that's flickering? That means it's about to go out. Are you listening? So that's the first use of that word in Genesis 45, 27. Jacob's flickering hope was quickened, made alive when he saw the wagons that his son sent to get him. Read, sir.
Revival
starts from the small hopeful conviction
that one day
that one day
we will see the glory and power of God.
we will see the glory and the power of the living God. Go ahead.
Revival breaks forth from a hope.
Revival breaks forth from a hope.
That does not disappoint.
That does not what?
Disappoint.
The scriptures say hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a what? Tree of life. What does that mean? Hope deferred. Have anybody ever made you a promise that they didn't keep? Huh? Didn't it hurt you? Huh? But God is not like that. Are you listening? God is a promise keeper. See, there are a lot of words you have to understand. Hope. Hope in Hebrews 11 and 1 is not futuristic. Faith is not based upon a future promise. Faith is based upon a promise that's already been made. You don't even have a right to have faith if God never made a promise. Okay, don't get mad at me. You read all them faith books. That ain't my problem. You camped out. Are you listening? Hoped in Hebrews 11 and 1 is a past tense designation. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could find none greater to swear by, he swore by himself. God made Abram a promise which gave Abram the right to have faith in what God had promised him. Okay. Amen. Go ahead.
The second, and Judges 15 and 19.
The second place where this word is used in Judges 15, 19.
It reveals that Samson's thirst.
It reveals that Samson's thirst
was quenched.
Was quenched
by the water that came out from a supernatural source.
By water that came out from a supernatural source, the jawbone of that donkey.
Which caused his strength to return.
Which caused his strength to return.
And he was revived.
And he was what? Revived. See, he felt like he was fainting. Are you listening? But y'all know when you get real thirsty, are you listening? When you get real thirsty, Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after what? Well, you know, some people right now are real thirsty because they don't understand righteousness. They think righteousness come by what you do. Don't get upset with me. Righteousness, you are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Being righteous and righteousness is a done fact in your life. You'll never be more righteous than what you are the day you receive Christ. Thank you for your enthusiasm, because you can't earn this. It's a gift. Are you listening? Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Revival starts as an unquenchable thirst.
Revival starts as an unquenchable. See how the Holy Ghost emphasizing that? Why does he say unquenchable? I'm messing it up now. Unquenchable thirst. Because you are always supposed to be thirsty. Because if you stay thirsty, that means you're God, look, I'm never satisfied. I'm never going to be comfortable. I'm going to be ever increasing in every aspect of my life and ministry. Stay thirsty, my friend. Okay, go ahead.
Revival starts as an unquenchable thirst.
Revival starts as an unquenchable thirst.
That only a supernatural source.
That only a supernatural source
can satisfy.
Can satisfy.
Revival is the coming in of a new freshness.
Revival is the coming in of a new freshness.
From the supernatural provision of God.
From the supernatural provision of God. Number three.
In 1 Kings 17:22, it reveals that Elijah's prayer.
It reveals that Elijah the prophet's prayer was heard.
And God responded to his voice.
And God responded to, I love that, his voice.
Yeah.
By reviving and restoring the child.
By reviving and restoring the child. That's why it's so good to have apostolic and prophetic connection.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
See, that woman's soul into the prophet's life. Come on, huh? God commanded that widow woman to sustain him. Yes, she ain't had nothing. Are you listening? But she was obedient, took care of the prophet as God had commanded her to. Now, that's a whole nother lesson. I don't need to get in there, but it came a time where after she did all that, the child took sick and died. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But she had a connection. And he had a connection. And God responded to his voice when he laid up on that child the third time. God was trying to show you something. In 3 days, you'll get up. Go ahead.
Revival starts in response.
Revival starts in response
to our voice of prayer.
To our voice of prayer.
God moves in response.
God moves in response
to our intercession and praise.
To our intercession and praise.
Revival has a lot to do with human responsibility.
Revival has a lot to do with human responsibility. It's not God will wait on you. God will waiting on you. Oh, come on. Y'all know you done prayed that prayer. Lord, I'm waiting on you. Because you heard the old elder pray. Lord, I'm waiting. All the churches. Lord, God said, what the hell are they waiting on? God said, in 6 days, I did everything I was going to do. I've completed my work in 6 days. And on the seventh day, I rested. I've been waiting on them to enter into my rest. What is that? I've already done everything I'm going to do for you. Y'all, can I help you?
Yes.
You're on a journey. Let people enjoy your journey. They got stuff on your journey that's not nice. Looks nasty. Don't look like you're going to make it. Don't look like you're going to come out. But that's why you have to have faith. Are you listening? Faith in God who is faithful. Are you listening? God took you to the end of your process. Showed you you came out victorious, then took you to the beginning and say start. But notice, he never showed you everything in between. So you can learn to walk by faith. Trust me, I know the end from the beginning, which means I'm all in between. Go ahead, sir.
Revival has a lot to do with human responsibility.
Revival has a lot to do with human responsibility.
Activating a supernatural move of God.
Activating a supernatural move of God.
God cannot and will not start.
God cannot and will not start.
A revival by himself.
A revival by himself. So he had to have an Apostle Thompson. Well, this we in revival now. I don't know what y'all waiting on somebody to call one. Revival in the New Testament is constant and continuous. You don't need a 21-day meeting.
All right.
Revival is every day. Don't get mad. Take your revival flies down. Go ahead.
Number four.
In 2 Kings 13:21.
It reveals that a dead man.
It reveals that a dead man.
Came to life.
When his corpse touched the bones of Elisha, the prophet. You want to know why he still had the anointing? Huh? Because his servant Gehazi, who was supposed to get it, forfeited it for a few clothes. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The anointing is made to be passed on to the next generation. And it doesn't leave out of the earth realm. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Are you listening? That anointing is so powerful that it could raise the dead. Here's a corpse. The man was killed in battle. They threw him in Elisha's grave, but the anointing quickened him, brought him back to life. He was revived. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead.
Revival starts with the principle of continuance. Revival starts when we become fully submerged.
Revival starts when we become fully submerged
in the teaching and revelation.
In the teaching and in the revelation
of the old order.
Of the old order.
And we become baptized by their message.
In other words, see all this Old Testament stuff where people say don't read it? That's ignorance. They got 66 books. One. The Bible says in Romans 15:4, all things that were written aforetime were written for your learning, that you through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. In other words, if you read all that God brought them through, when your day come, you won't be crying. When your challenge come, your adversity, amen. You'll do what James said. What's that, Dr. Walker? Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Why? Why would you count it all joy? Because God is trying to bring you to a point in your life where you realize that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yeah. But you have to count it joy. It don't feel good. Yeah. Walking through challenges don't feel good, but if you learn to count it joy, you'll have the strength to overcome it. Okay, you ain't read that no book. Just say amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
We need to touch the bones of our forefathers.
We need to touch the bones of our forefathers.
If we are going to carry on.
If we're going to carry on.
From the old.
Unto the new today. Go ahead.
Revival starts when God restores the heart of the fathers.
Revival starts when God restores the hearts of the fathers.
To the children. And the heart of the children.
And the hearts of the children.
To their father.
See, we have lived in a rebellious generation. But see, fathers, y'all notice Apostle Thompson say, I love God, I love Jesus, I love the Holy Spirit, and I love the people of God. That's an apostle is a father. And he's returned the hearts of the fathers to the children. But the children must also have their hearts restored to their fathers. Because there's something about a child that people have not observed. Rebellion is born in the heart of a child. They just naturally. That's why if you a father, your son, he got to be trained. He going to cling to mama because she going to pet him. And daughters cling to daddies because they clash with mamas. And nobody want to say amen.
Amen.
But if you live life, you know. Amen. But that rebellion got to get out you by your heart being restored. Mama not out to get the daughter and daddy not out to get the son. It's all training. Go ahead, sir.
All these groups of people are listed as the recipients of revival. In the book, Reviving the Revivalist,
it is noted that there are seven outstanding revivals
in the Old Testament.
Number one,
Jacob's household,
in Genesis chapter number 35, verses 1 through 15.
Jacob said to all of his household.
And all who was with him.
To get rid of all the foreign gods.
Get rid of all the foreign gods that are in your life. Don't be reading talking about them. They got foreign gods in your life today. Read, sir.
Purify yourself.
Notice this, purify yourself, purify yourself. You got to separate yourself. Read.
And change your clothes.
What?
And come and let us go to Bethel. Where I will build an altar to God.
Now, Bethel is the house of God. In the house of God, you build an altar. An altar is a place where you can call on him. If you call on him, he's going to answer you. Say, okay, go ahead.
They gave to Jacob all of their foreign gods. And all the rings in their ear.
And they gave him all of their what? Foreign gods. Now, you know, they had been taught to do that. Go after strange gods, other gods. They took all of the rings out of their
ears. And Jacob buried them.
And Jacob buried their foreign gods. And the rings. Oh, y'all understand the spiritual significance? Huh? Who you hearing from?
All right.
Wow. All right.
Get rid of what's in your ear.
Wow.
And bury it with them idols.
Wow.
Because what you hear affect you.
That's right. Wow.
Go ahead.
The next statement says the Lord. Respond immediately. To their service of rededication.
Respond immediately to their service of rededication. That don't sound right when you read it. You might need to read the whole statement again.
The next statement says.
The Lord responded immediately.
To their service of rededication.
Okay, that sound better. Go ahead.
The threat of an enemy's invasion
immediately ended. immediately ended during that time. Go ahead.
Number two.
King Asa.
2 Chronicles
chapter 11 and chapter number 12.
2 Chronicles 23 and 24.
And 2 Chronicles chapter number 23 and 24. I bet you that's 1 Kings, but go ahead, read.
Revival came to Israel.
Revival came to Israel.
Because they had been without the true God.
Because they had been without what?
The true God.
They had been without the true God.
Or a teaching priest or instruction.
Or a teaching priest. They've been without the true God. And they were without a teaching priest, and they didn't have no instruction. As the priests go, the people go. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
When Asa heard the word of Azariah,
the priest Asa took courage.
And renovated the altar. Revival came. The people rejoiced. And the Lord gave them rest on every side.
Notice that term, renovated the altar. What does that mean? Restored it back to its rightful place. Prayer got to be restored back to its rightful place. Everything must be preceded by prayer. By prayer and supplication. Y'all have never read that in the Bible? Huh? By prayer and supplication. And the giving of thanks. Let your requests be made known. Okay, go ahead, sir.
Number three.
King Joash.
2 Kings 11 and 12.
In 2 Kings chapter 11, chapters 11 and chapter 12.
2 Chronicles 23 and 24.
And in 2 Chronicles chapter number 23 and 24.
Revival came when
Jehadiah.
The priest gave instructions. Then all the people of the land. Went to the temple of Baal. And tore it down.
Destroyed all that foreign idols. Read.
They killed the wicked king's mother.
They killed the who?
The wicked king's mother.
Why would they kill a wicked king's mother? You ever thought about that? Because she had influence over him. That's why God told Abram, and if you want to walk with me, Abram, leave your country. Leave your kindred. Leave your father's house and come to a place that I'm going to show you. Why would he tell him that? Because all three of those factors had more influence in his life than what God would have. God said you got to get rid of them. Sometimes you got to get rid of your mom. Mother, because you know they got a lot of men who are, you know, any man who told me he loved his mama more than his wife need to get slapped. I didn't say disrespect your mother, but don't disrespect your wife, idiot. ID10T. Go ahead, read, sir. I don't know who I'm helping out there, but you drew that, not me. Go ahead.
Jehoash. Replaced the wicked kings. On the royal throne. And all the people rejoiced. And revival came in the land. And the city was calm.
He had to get rid of the mother and the king. Go ahead.
Number four, King Hezekiah. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 4 through 7. 2 Chronicles 29:36.
And in 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, verse 36.
Revival under King Hezekiah. Is one of the most sudden. Of those recorded. In the scriptures. Because it happened so what?
Quickly. Can I talk to you right now? Yeah. Things are accelerating. So God said he's going to do a quick work. All of the things you waiting on, God said, I've already done them. An acceleration will take place when you realize it's done. And you must speak as though it is already done and quit praying, I'm waiting on you. Call those things which be not as though they have already come to pass. I believe you, Father. It is as you hath said. Go ahead.
He began a work of restoration.
In Hezekiah's day, he began a work of restoration.
At the beginning of his reign.
At the beginning of his reign.
Within a couple of months.
Within a couple of months.
The whole land was swept with a wave.
The whole land was swept with a wave.
Of spiritual enthusiasm.
Of spiritual, notice that term, enthusiasm.
Marks of his revival.
Marks of his revival.
Were. Consecration. Recommitment.
Recommitment.
To the covenant. Purification of the temple. Restoration of worship. And sacrifice and singing. Were a mark of that particular revival.
Read those characteristics again.
Consecration.
Apostle Thompson. Amen. I didn't finish yet. Pay attention. Apostle Thompson gave men rings. The hallmark of his ministry, one of the words is consecration. Sanctification. You listening?
Yes, sir.
Dedication. Mm-hmm. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
So these characteristics show you revival can't come without this. Okay, go ahead.
Consecration. A recommitment to the covenant.
A recommitment to the covenant.
Purification of the temple. Restoration of worship and sacrifice.
And singing.
Were a mark of this revival.
Go ahead.
Number five. King Josiah.
Second Kings
22 and 23.
Second Chronicles 34 and 35.
Two revivals after the exile.
These were revivals after the exile.
Josiah. Was the godly son of the evil man Shack.
He was the godly son of the evil man Shack.
Who led Israel astray. The people did not have a clue of what God required of them. As a teenager king. Josiah, as a teenager king, began to seek God. And purged the land of all idols.
He can only do that with divine instruction. He was a teenager. Are you listening? But he sought God. Heard from God, got instructions from God. God told him what to do. Go ahead.
While repairing the temple, the book of the law was found and he heard it.
The book of the law, the Pentateuch. Y'all know what the book of the law is?
Yeah.
Huh? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I know. Lost half y'all. Deuteronomy, I understand. Go ahead.
People recommitted themselves
to the covenant.
And expressed this in a massive Passover festival.
Okay. We'll pick up next week.